We'll launch the June 13th, 2009 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Rain Report. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. This week we bring you the first in a number of excerpts we'll bring you this summer from the 2009 town hall meeting held at the Dayton Hamvention this past May. The theme this year of this ever-popular forum was ham radio's role in careers. Our first excerpt is from a talk by astronaut Richard Garriott, W5KWQ. He was introduced by the forum moderator, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF.
Back in the 1980s, I had the good fortune to work with the late Roy Neal on a film or a video. Because we were one of the first. We did the very first stuff for ham radio to use videotape. Before that, it was all 16-millimeter film. And the gentleman who we did the show about was Owen Garriott, W5LFL, who's in our audience today, Owen. The first licensed radio amateur to take a ham station into space. The show is called Amateur Radio's Newest Frontier. And there were actually two versions. I'm not going to go into that right now. A couple of years later, like this past year, Owen's son, Richard, had the fortune to be able to, in many ways, repeat what his father did by going to the International Space Station. Is a ham, grew up in the ham radio family, and Richard's here to tell us a little bit about what it was like to grow up in the ham family and what it was, even more important, to fly in space. Richard, it's all yours. Richard Garriott.
Thank you very much. It's particularly exciting for me to be here in Dayton because this is actually my first significant gathering of ham radio operators I've been to. I've been to club meetings down in Austin, Texas, but this is my first convention in ham radio of any kind. And as you mentioned, I did grow up with my father and my grandfather actually. We're both ham radio operators, so I saw it from a third-person perspective, so to speak, from a young age. I only became licensed myself actually quite recently. It was when I knew that I was finally going to be able to make my journey into space, beginning of 2007. Right as I committed to that flight, I also went and said, boy, as my dad's son, if I manage to make it into space and don't do ham radio in space, I will be really be being the bad son. So I worked very hard to, not only get licensed, but to try to put together a fairly significant program or some fun and interesting things to do for the ham radio community while I was up there. I have to tell you that while the total spectrum of things that I did in space was quite broad in the sense of I did a number of personal research items, fairly long list of commercial work. I even did volunteer medical research for NASA and ESA and the Koreans and Russians. And I did a bunch of educational work with Challenger Centers and the British National Space Center. But I have to tell you, the most personally rewarding and challenging activity that I did with my time in space was my ham radio activities. And so I'd like to take you a little bit on that, kind of my journey through my flight, especially talk about why ham radio for me was such a success. Of course, I spent a year training in Russia for my flight, which it was on its own a phenomenal experience. And I told my crewmates that if the world ended today before we launched, that I still think my time and money would have been well spent. But, nothing beats the day you wake up in the morning, put on your own custom-made spacesuit, crawl into a fully fueled rocket, and light it up. And 8.5 minutes later, you're floating around in space. I mean, that's a mighty good day. But one of the first things I did when I found myself in orbit was I set up my workstation for all the different experiments I was doing, including the ham radio setup. And I had taken up with me the VCH1 slow scan TV device, which still is now on station. I also hooked up a laptop where I brought up some images with me to broadcast from the space station. And while I went about setting up the rest of my activities, I left the laptop in kind of a slideshow presentation, transmitting a fun set of pictures down to the Earth. The pictures I thought of to take up were not only a bit of some family history. I took up some pictures of my dad in space. I'd taken some zero-G flights with Stephen Hawking, and I sent some of those down. But my favorite things to send down were things like test patterns and color eye test charts, as well as pirate flags with the Richard Garriott's mutiny on the ISS. Some of the NASA guys were a little shy about how the ham radio community might react to such, what I might call irreverent images. But I did it anyway, and actually the community was obviously responded quite well. I mean, everybody kind of really got the spirit in which it was meant, and I think really enjoyed it. It's interesting that I was really just thinking of ham as one of the activities. I hadn't yet determined that this was going to be such an impactful activity for me until on that first day, I set up the VCH1, and it's still battery-operated, so you're chowing through batteries pretty quickly, so I didn't want to change batteries any more quickly than would be required. And even though I was advised and they had tested them and told me that they were only going to last 4 hours, my plan was to wait till it failed and then change the batteries. Until the next day, when I got a call from the ground when my dad, who was in mission control in Russia, at our morning daily planning conference, called me up and said, "Hey, Richard, you know, by the way, the ham radio operators all say thanks for all the pictures you're sending down from space. However, they have noticed that you are not changing the batteries as frequently as you need to. In fact, it appears you're attempting to run them for more like 10 or 12 hours. And in fact, at about 4.5 hours, the batteries are going bad." It was not apparent to me on orbit that that was the case, because it appeared to me to be working on orbit. And I'm like going, oh my gosh, no, these guys are paying really close attention.
You're listening to a talk by astronaut Richard Garriott, W5KWQ, excerpted from his presentation during the town hall meeting held this past May at the Dayton Hamvention. We'll continue his talk in a moment. This is the RAIN Report, heard both Saturday and Sunday nights at 8 p.m. CDT in Des Moines, Iowa, on the Des Moines, Iowa Repeater Text Club repeaters on 145.31 and on 444.575 MHz. We'll be right back.
Not only are people on the ground paying close attention, but they obviously can technically analyze what is happening with the radio from the ground in a way that I can't even tell on orbit. And that implies that these people are connected around the globe, because the person for whom it was working is in a different quadrant of the planet than the person for whom it failed on. And that means they're trading information enough to know where around the world it failed and when I put in a new set of batteries to start the clock. And they not only figured all this out, but they then figured out how to get a hold of my dad in Russia to have it sent back up to me in space. And I'm like going like, oh man, I'm in trouble. I quickly went from thinking of this as what I'll call a hobby for me on the side to going like, you know, I need to do a really good job of this or I'm going to be a family embarrassment. And so I, you know, religiously changed the batteries. You just started to get 4 hours basically from that point on. I had similar results with things like voice contact. You know, it's funny that I've got with me here, this is actually the crew notebook I put together before I flew into space. It's kind of like my cheat sheets for how to operate the radios and the toilet and pretty much anything else. This page here happens to be the one page that I put in my crew notebook for my ham radio contacts. And so, you know, the first time I fire up the radio by voice, you know, in 3 minutes, I basically fill this page. And I'm going like, uh-oh, you know, I'm in trouble again, because I realized I was, you know, completely underprepared for the volume of people that would be trying to contact me in space. And so instead, I had another crew notebook where I had some other kind of sheets I'd put together, and this one was all my orbital paths for all the days I was in space, and the back sides of these sheets of paper were blank. Since it was already dated, I used the back side of the piece of paper to be my makeshift log. And so you can see here, you know, by the second day I'm up there, I now have two columns of contacts. And I'll skip way ahead and to the, by the last day, you can see I'm up to like five columns of contacts. And then I began to run over onto extra sheets of paper and other things as I became both more efficient at my contacts. And about halfway through, I also realized I was getting, you know, a lot of contacts. Prior to this, I had not consulted with my dad to see how many contacts he made from space. And so I didn't know how many was a lot. But I figured, you know, now that I'm on a roll, you know, it'd sure be nice to beat however many contacts he made. It'd sure be nice to get more. And so I basically said, I'm going to get as many as I can. And I ended up making 518 two-way contacts that I have here in this logbook, plus numerous other one-ways or things I can't quite read, et cetera. And then, of course, lots of the 1,000 or two of the slow-scan television images. But I have to tell you that through the whole time, when I was making contact with people, in addition to what I'll call my personal motivations, the response I was getting from people was incredible. I mean, it was very clear that people were paying very close attention to the flight. They were trying very hard, often for days and days, to try to make that contact. So I felt a great sense of responsibility to try to fulfill their hard work in trying to make those contacts. I found that the community on the ground was incredibly appreciative and supportive. Not only were they very thankful for when they did make the contact, they could tell how much time and effort I was spending at it, and they would reflect that to me in space, but also when I would, for example, want to make a school contact or a contact with a young kid or something, and I could, in the middle of the log jam of people trying to come up, if I would mention a partial call sign or the name or that I was trying to reach a school, the entire community would settle out and become quiet to let the person who I indicated make their contact through the log jam. And I thought it was an amazing experience. I mean, it really told me something about the ham radio community that I'm frankly a newbie to, really. But I immediately became, you know, very impressed and very proud to have had the, you know, wonderful opportunity to participate with this community in the way that I did. And that's continued since my flight. I mean, you know, after 12 days, unfortunately, you know, I had to come home. You know, reentry, of course, is another pretty amazing part of the process. You know, entering the Earth's atmosphere at 17,000 miles an hour and, you know, ripping molecules apart and creating this sun-hot plasma, that's, you know, 2 or 3 inches from your shoulder, and watching the spacecraft melt away out the window, you know, is a pretty interesting way to come home. But then in the Russian system, you know, ends a finale that is a 20 or 30 mile an hour impact on the surface of the Earth. In a 6,000-pound vehicle that bounces and rolls after it hits. It's a pretty notable ending to your time in space. Even since then, you know, I've had such a great time, you know, going through this notebook to research who all these people were on the web, and a lot of times I might have transcribed something a bit inaccurately, so I'd email 2 or 3 people who were possible contacts, and everybody was always really helpful to get me to the correct people, and I've now, you know, become friends and had great exchanges with a lot of the students and individuals, and back to visit some of the schools that I was connected to from space. And then the chance to come out here, you met a few dozen of the people whose call signs are in this notebook are here. I've already had a chance to talk with. And so what an incredible experience this has been for me also. Now, I would just like to wrap by just saying thanks to all of you for welcoming me into your community that I'm now so, you know, pleased and proud to call myself a member of.
Astronaut Richard Garriott, W5KWQ, excerpted from his 2009 town hall meeting held at the Dayton Hamvention this past May. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2009. RAIN, all rights reserved. Now for all the kids and squids at RAIN, I am Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you all a very 73 from all of us at RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.